Hello and welcome to bonus episode 20-something, 24 or something for the year. Thank you guys so much. Welcome Patreon people. Welcome Stitcher Premium people. I believe, is this our last Stitcher Premium bonus episode?
One more.
We have one more Stitcher Premium bonus episode and then it'll be back to just Patreon.
Right.
We're going to pull that shit off Stitcher Premium and just be on Patreon next year. I don't think it's in our deal.
I don't think it is
or
either.
Who knows? If it gets added in, if they want to give us more money, then fine. But if not, just for you people. Otherwise, it's just there. But thank you guys for tuning in again. We have a wild story. It's a holiday-themed.
Great.
Holiday-themed murder this week. Totally fucked up murder and with a crazy ending. One of the weirdest last meals we've ever had. And we got all this to go. And we have a crazy story.
Good.
Holiday-themed.
Yeah.
A lot of fun here. It's really good. Weird story. Not in a small town. No. And we don't care. Because we're going holiday-themed. It's murdery.
Oh, I like that.
It's panhandle.
Yeah.
It's a very panhandle type of crime. So it's small town esque. I mean, it's what we do. It just happened in a place with a few too many hillbillies to qualify for us.
Well, so, where the hell was it?
Well, multiple places here. First in Oklahoma, and also in a boarding house on Staten Island.
Jesus.
So
New York. You got around. So,
both.
I don't know the pronoun. Wait
yes,
a minute.
Yes, yes, and yes.
What happened?
Okay, let's get into it.
Who did what and changed sexes?
Well, let's talk. Well, that's not quite what that'd be. A really interesting story. He's a murderer, and then he to get away with the he wasn't even like a trans person. He just to get away with the crime.
Just changed.
He just
woman.
Changed his sex, and that was it. And he was like, "They'll never get me now."
But they did.
He's like, "I'm disappointed. I don't think I did the right thing.
Right.
I think it's a little much, is what I'm saying for me." You know,
how'd you get my jizz out of my new?
Yeah, real weird. So this is a guy named Thomas J. Grasso. He's born November 23rd, 1962, here back in the day, we'll say, which
58
is...
58 today.
Yeah, well, yeah, close.
57? Yeah, 58.
He would be. Well, yeah.
Well, shit. Yeah. Math is
escapes
me.
You got that. No, it didn't, actually. You math nailed you on that.
All right. I mathleted the shit out of that.
57-ish years old right now. 57 years old. We'll talk about him here. He's got some problems. Mm-hmm. He's got some issues.
From the start?
From the start, yeah. Growing up, he's from Florida. He grows up a lot. He's around Florida as a young man a lot. And that enough alone right there is enough
to change some things.
It'll change you.
Yeah.
You turn into, you get a little Florida and it's too much here. He's got a few convictions as a young man.
Yeah.
It's some stuff. He's a bit of a fuck up. And it's, you know, I mean, it's 70s stuff. Unlawful delivery of marijuana.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, back then, he could have had a truck full and it would have been like two joints worth of, you know, getting you stoned power.
What's the lawful delivery
nowadays?
Of it back then?
I guess.
I think it's zero delivery. So essentially.
Unlawful delivery. Yeah, there's no lawful delivery.
Essentially, he had too much.
He was delivering marijuana, which is unlawful, apparently, I feel like, back then. So also burglary, possession of barbiturates.
Oh.
So he's got that happening for him. So that's a real, some drugs, aggravated battery.
Uh-oh.
Throw that in there. Armed robbery.
Oh, no.
That's a good one. And then some more aggravated battery.
Good Lord, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, these are all his convictions in the state of Florida.
Sweet Christ, what else did he do?
So, well, I mean, let's see. He's on a small town murder bonus episode.
So I mean, while he was doing all that, if he was caught for that, it was much worse.
We're seeing a progression here. You know what I mean? Obviously. Yeah. The weed thing, I mean, whatever. He's selling weed. Who gives a shit there? But I mean, burglary, possession of, you know, narcotic type drugs, aggravated battery, armed robbery. That's a crazy one there, because that's you're taking something from someone by force, basically.
He's a poster child for a politician claiming that marijuana is the gateway drug to, like, a bad life.
Well, yeah, he was just, but he was fucked anyway. And he was also probably drinking when he was 9. So they always leave that out.
They do.
They leave that. I always loved that with politicians.
He was smoking weed when he was 13.
They're like, he was smoking weed, loved that. It's like, when did he start stealing booze out of his parents' cabinet? When did he start stealing his dad's beers? Because that was probably 8. That was the first fucking thing he did.
Do you think he started with beer? I'll bet they started with the nips of whiskey.
There you go.
I guarantee it.
That too. You never know. But we won't get into that whole thing. We don't have time for that on a bonus episode. That's a rabbit hole for a regular episode. So, yeah, he also had been admitted to a mental health facility twice for observation. Both times, though, he was held for 72 hours. He was acting a bit wacky. Yeah. They put him in there, and then he calmed the fuck down 72 hours, and they let him go. So they know that's the period where they're going to decide, and he chilled out, and they just held him and let him go. So he didn't and you have to act pretty... To be forcefully put in an institution, you have to be pretty...
It's a lot.
I see people like... Yeah, I was watching Live PD recently, and they showed up where
a gold mine.
It was Nye County, Nevada, which, I mean, everything's going to be wonderful. It's just Reno 911 in documentary form. They might as well just go, Sheriff's Department, when they get out of the car, because it's... And jog up there. It's that ridiculous. So good. It's the same people. And this guy, if it wasn't real, you'd think, how this is definitely not real. This is an older man, and he's standing there, and the guy's like, what's the problem now? And he goes, damn, aliens been following me. He's like, who now? He goes, damn aliens follow me everywhere. Since I was 5 years old, they've been bothering me. The one got a big ship. I call him Big Blue now. He's been really bothering me. But boy, they're getting bad.
He's got nicknames.
They're getting
for him.
Bad. Oh, he has names for him. He goes, that one gonna come. He goes, no, I don't even know anymore. He's like, I'm getting tired of it. Okay. I'm just getting sick of it. That's all I'm saying. He goes, they gotta leave me the hell alone. And the guy's like, well, I mean, what do they look like? And he goes, they don't look like little green men or nothing. He goes, they look like me and you. He goes, me and you like people? He goes, ah, people. They're just around. He goes, but they got a big alien ship and all this shit. And he goes, now, last two time, I called the police because I seen these aliens out here. They said they put me in a hospital. And the guy goes, well, I mean, I'm not trying to put you in a hospital. He goes, I don't want to go to no hospital. I just want them to leave me alone. And they scream, and the guy's like, okay, sure. And he talks to him for a while, and he goes, well, the cop very calmly goes, well, I'm looking around now. I don't see them now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're not around right now. The guy goes, no, they're hiding. They're hiding. They ain't around right now. And he goes, okay, so they're not around right now. So what I'm going to do, I'm on until about 8 o'clock. He goes, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to be patrolling. Because I'm going to cruise by. I'll take a look every once in a while.
Oh, this poor bastard.
Make sure you're cool. Keep an eye out. Anything else happens, you give me a call, and I'll come back. But we're cool for right now. He's like, all right, I'll keep an eye out. All right, cool. And he walks away, and I'm like, that doesn't get you put in the hospital.
No.
Just in the street going, Big Blue after me. Like, that doesn't get you put in the hospital. You have to go that extra mile to be, like, dangerous.
Yeah.
He wasn't like, if they don't stop it, I'm going to stab people in the face when they walk by. You have to say that to get put in the hospital.
Yeah.
So
that
it's...
That part is intense, that he's that didn't get that guy put in the hospital, but also that cop had to pass a rigorous physical test to be able to handle that
and
situation.
He's just staring
That's
at this
so
man.
Fucked up.
You when you watch
what
that,
a waste of money.
It seems like the number one skill for police officers, I don't care about any other thing, is calmness.
Yeah.
You just have to be able to have any amount of crazy hit you and go, okay, well.
Well, I'll be on till 8.
Let's talk about it. Like, you, no matter what, making back and go, no, motherfucker, blah, 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 and you have to go, all right, well, let me see. That's one way of looking at it. But what I'm telling you, like, you have to keep doing that. You can't just go, you motherfucker, and start choking a guy. I mean, obviously it happens, but that can't be your standard. I wouldn't last 4 hours on the shift. I would be pummeling people.
That's why cops have a very high rate of fucking divorce, man. Because they have to be stone cold out in the streets. And when they get home, they're just like, I'm not dealing with crazy in this
That's
fucking
what I mean.
House.
I'd go to one of these things where like a neighbor called the cops because people were fighting. And then you go in and then they turn on you. And you're like, I will beat both of you. Are you kidding me? Whose fucking fault is this? What the fuck is
I'm an innocent bystander.
You're not fighting each other. No. You're just fighting me now. No one's hit anybody. There's no domestic violence. There's no anything like this. You're just dicks. And now you're going to be a dick to me? Keep your shit life to yourselves.
You'd think that lesson and that just having that stoic personality trait on the job would translate to home. But once they get home, man, they're like, home. I'm not going to do this. Yeah. I have to do this shit all day. I'm not being calm here. Yeah. All of you can shut the fuck up.
Well, I would assume just you have to go home and go, where's the booze and where's anything I need to flush all of that.
Everybody in your room, I'm drinking.
I have several people's blood on me. I don't know who they are. I don't know. They're criminals. I know that much.
Never met them till tonight.
Blood's on me, though. How many people's bloods do you have on you? None? That's probably pretty cool, right? Yeah.
How's that feel? I need a shower.
It's too in my underwear.
Right.
You have how many people's blood you have on your underwear? It's soaked through my pants. How do you think of that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's got problems, let's just say here. The first commitment was a voluntary admittance for drug addiction.
Yeah.
And the second was suicidal gestures that he got put in there for sort of he kept intimating that he was going to commit suicide over and over again all after they said, "You're all right?" And he was like, "I'll still kill myself." And they're like, "Okay, well, now you have to go to jail." So, yeah, he said that he'd been there. He won't really admit that too, that he's been in these mental institutions here, and he never had like anybody that would he never had like a court anybody court appointed that looked over him when he got out or anything like that. There was never any post any release supervision, and he doesn't come from a family with a bunch of mental disease or you know, it's not like, well, his mom and his dad are both paranoid schizophrenic, so I mean, this makes sense or anything like that here. But he has some problems. He wanders a lot. So by 1990, you know, he's 28 years old and he's just been wandering. I mean, think about all those convictions.
Yeah.
He's done time in prison.
Yeah.
He's had enough time to have drug addictions. It's why he's been in institutions.
Sure.
And he's lived a long life by 28 already.
Yeah.
Think about that. Prison and institutions
in
and drug addictions. And I mean, you run through the mill at
this
point. He's hardened. Yeah. He's like fucking, like violent bubbles at this point, basically. Watch The Wire, Jimmy.
All right.
So he ends up in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Actually, ends up in Tulsa, which is not a small town.
And also not great.
And it's also Tulsa, as we might say. People in Tulsa are nodding along.
Yeah.
I understand. Sure, I like the people, but he uses a little more tree.
It's not great.
You know, but I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah, I get it.
It's cheap.
So there's a woman here, 87-year-old woman. It's December 24th, 1990. Christmas Eve.
Oh, it's beautiful.
In Tulsa.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, the stars.
Hell yeah.
That night are shining bright.
Yeah.
Deep in the heart of Oklahoma.
Okay.
I had to change the lyrics.
Just assume you can't really see them because there's so much Christmas lights.
There's so many Christmas.
So
it's drowning it out.
Yeah,
that's probably.
Can't see the stars beyond the Christmas lights.
It's just a giant nativity scene.
Yeah.
That's all it is there.
There's so much Jesus.
So, yes. There's a lot of Jesus.
It's the biggest baby Jesus you ever saw.
Yeah. So this woman is in Tulsa, December 24th, 1990. Do you remember Christmas Eve, 1990?
I was 9. No.
Yeah, you don't remember that?
No, I don't know what I got.
I don't remember what I got.
Life was like.
I actually remember that.
Do you?
For some reason. It's weird, but yeah.
That one?
1990 for some reason.
I don't remember.
Before my mom moved. It was the last time like my family all lived in the same state together.
That's why.
So it's one of those things.
Yeah. Specific.
By the next Christmas, it was, you know, I was having to fly back and forth to go to holidays and shit. So
from age like 7 or 8 on to like fucking 14, it was all just bleh. Nobody gives a shit. You know what I mean?
It's just fine. Get me a Nintendo game and move on.
It was worse, man. It was whatever my stepbrother got. I got the same fucking thing in a different color. It was just all bullshit.
That's miserable.
Just a miserable life.
You were telling me they dressed you.
Christ.
They call you spaghetti and meatballs.
I was skinny. We looked like assholes.
Yeah.
We looked so dumb. We looked like fucking.
I said at least you weren't meatball.
It's true. We looked like the Cinderella mice, the fat one and the skinny one.
Yeah,
we looked like idiots.
Like idiots.
So disappointing.
December 24th, 1990, he's in Tulsa, and he is near the home of a Hilda Johnson, like I said, 87-year-old woman.
Yeah.
He's out scouring for money, basically, is what he's doing. He knocks. It's Christmas Eve, man. He's like, what's still open?
Late shopper.
Oof, boy, I hope there's something. He knocks on the door, and Hilda Johnson answers the door. It's Christmas Eve. Somebody knocks on the door in Tulsa in 1990. She might have thought it was carolers.
Oh,
yeah.
God, sing to me.
It's probably children with hot chocolate that are here to sing a religious Christmas song to me. That's
sing
what
about
gonna,
that figgy pudding.
I would like Little Drummer Boy, please, and they're going to sing it. It's a dirtbag with a criminal record instead. It's Thomas Grosso out there. He forces his way into the house, at that point. Now, he takes a piece of wood out of a plant and hits her in the head with it.
Out of a plant?
There's a piece of wood in a nearby planter.
Okay.
Takes that, hits her in the head with it. That doesn't do the trick. So he also takes an iron, like a, you know, the
clothing iron?
Like a clothes iron that you iron with, and hits her in the head with that.
God damn.
Okay, so this is a terrible Christmas thing here going on right now. This is not festive at all. She is there, still alive though, and he's like, well, shit, now what do? I'd like to rob her, but I can't leave her like this.
Yeah.
I need something to, I'm going to strangle her.
Right.
Decides to strangle her, and the closest thing nearby, and I don't know, the most ironic thing he could think of to do, was the Christmas lights. The lights on her Christmas tree. He takes the bottom rung of those off, which are also attached to an extension cord,
right,
and takes that whole thing and strangles her with her own Christmas lights on Christmas Eve.
Holy shit, that's heartless.
That is fucked up. Yeah.
That's cool.
Next to grandma being run over by the reindeer, that's the second most tragic thing that's happened to grandma on Christmas Eve, I'm going to say. Right?
I can't think of any more.
The reindeer was unintentional, probably.
Right. That was drinking and driving.
That's, yeah, Santa's had a few.
Santa's got to tell him where to go.
Yeah.
It's probably on him, too.
It's a little everybody's fault with Santa, but this is one man's fault.
Yeah.
This is Thomas Grasso's fault,
and
not this poor woman.
So insulting.
It's just horrifying.
Yeah.
And first of all, is nothing sacred? I mean, not to be like fucking, you know, whatever, old-fashioned or anything, but is nothing sacred?
Yeah.
Is not even from like a religious standpoint or anything else. We all, as a society, don't fuck with anybody don't fuck with an old lady on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
This is shitty. This is just a shitty thing for a person to do.
Let's leave them out of your target of shitbaggery.
Yeah.
But for sure,
on Christmas Eve,
and using Christmas to do.
People are more trusting. Happy.
Yeah, but isn't
I'm going to use their spirit against them. Like, this is disgusting.
At some moment in this crime, you hit her with the one thing, you hit her with the other, and then you look around the room and your head goes, grab the Christmas lights. At least one moment in there does your head go, oh, you can't do that.
I think
Jesus, man. What's wrong with you?
This asshole, I think for one moment he went, that's kind of funny. That's what I think he did.
Oh, wow,
in
man.
In my mind, when you find out later, by the end of the story here, because we've got to hurry it up here, you're going to think, I think he did that shit as like, that's kind of ironic.
Extra
I'll
sting.
Do that. Just because it was like, hey, it's Christmas. This is festive.
Boy.
So what does he get out of this? He needs to steal shit. So he steals her television set, which, you know, an old lady's 1990 television set. If you saw that TV set right now and someone tried to give it to you, you'd be like, I can't carry that fucking thing. It's heavy as shit. I don't know. Throw it out. What do you want? You're asking me what to do with it.
Hey, you want me to donate it to Goodwill? What are you talking about?
At one point, it was worth an old lady's life.
Wow.
And he steals $8 in cash from her purse because she's an old lady on a fixed income. She doesn't have, you know, a ton of money. And $4 in loose change.
He took the change.
He took literally $8 and then $4 in loose change and a shitty TV.
Wow.
He sold the TV for $125.
That's lucky.
The electronics back then were expensive. And then he had $12. So $137 it's worth to kill grandma on Christmas Eve.
Unreal. Today, that's worth $8 and a trip to Goodwill.
Yeah, nobody would care.
Spend $8 in gas to get it there.
Exactly. It's no shit, right? So, yeah, he's awful. He's an awful fucking person. So a woman ends up coming forward, a neighbor of hers, comes forward, and she says, I saw this man at Hilda Johnson's front door. He was standing with one hand on the door frame, like he was sort of propped against it. He looked me in the eye, and then I saw this blonde open up the door for him from the inside. So not Hilda. Yeah, they thought he must have forced his way in from Hilda, but now they find out from a neighbor, oh no, a blonde person who was not Hilda opened the door for him from the inside. So now it's a whole other issue.
So he was leaning on the door frame like he just knocked and he was waiting on the
answer.
Yeah,
like, he's like Kanicki from Greece and he's there to pick Rizzo up and he's leaning on the door. What's happening, sweetheart? He's going to take the cigarette out of his mouth. Hey, babe, how you doing? Kanicki from Kanicki. So, they said that. They showed her. And by the way, this was the newspaper found this woman, not the police department.
Wow. Wow.
Because the newspaper ended up showing her a picture of Grasso and a woman who we'll talk about in a second. And this woman said, quote, "It's her. It was her face that I saw. That look, I'll never forget it." Wow. So this woman IDs, the neighbor IDs a woman inside the place and this Grasso here.
Did the newspaper do the investigation to find the suspects or the police?
They were going around asking people. Wow. And they said, "Hey, was it this guy and this one?" Because some stuff will come up here. They said they've always, it ends up being, this woman is Yvonne Lana Grooms, okay? Now, Lana Grooms is a woman that he, after this happens, after this murder, because that murder was Christmas Eve 1990, May of 1991, he marries this Lana Grooms. Uh-huh. Yeah, that'll bring you closer. Yeah. You're going to kill an old lady on Christmas Eve together. Yeah, so they don't end up finding this whole thing out. First, this is a mystery, what happens to this, to this Hilda Johnson. Yeah. She just is a poor woman killed in her home on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. Everybody's scared. They start locking their doors. You know, end of story. Yeah. Typical small town murder, Tulsa or not. Tulsa's a small town, whether it is or it isn't. You know what I mean?
It sure has the feel of it.
It's a bigger small town, you know? That's just all there is to it. Well, after this, they end up in June of 91. They end up moving, Thomas and his wife Lana here. Uh-huh. They move to New York.
Okay.
So Florida, Oklahoma, New York. They end up moving. They end up in Staten Island. They're on Staten Island here, and they end up in a boarding house.
Oh.
So, yeah, things aren't going well for them, obviously.
The 127 didn't stretch far?
It's odd. You would think they would have just been able to retire on that. That was the big score.
Yeah.
They move there, and at some point, they find a murder. A neighbor of theirs, a man named Leslie Holtz, who's an 81-year-old neighbor in the boarding house there, other guy. They end up killing him.
My God, what?
Yeah, they kill him.
What, on Easter?
Murder him. Oh, yes, they murder him on Thanksgiving.
To death with
actually, you're going to... Okay, don't laugh. They kill him on the 4th of July.
No way. It's
not shitting you. On July 4th, 1991.
They literally celebrate holidays
they're the holiday
with
killers.
Fucking murder.
Yeah, they're like, well, we'll have a barbecue. We'll kill an elderly person.
Jesus.
You know how it is.
You like hot dogs?
What do you want, burgers? Should we beat the shit out of an old lady? What do you think?
Let's beat an old man to death with a brisket.
Ooh, okay. Oh, that sounds good. We'll stuff hot dogs up his ass. That's going to be perfect So they steal his social security check. That's what they get out of this.
$400?
His social security in 1991? I don't even know.
Probably his social security
That's check?
Gross.
That's what you're stealing?
A man that lives in a fucking boarding house.
He doesn't have much.
That's all he's got.
He's got something. I'm taking it. This is as predatory as they come here. 2 weeks after that is when Thomas gets arrested because, you know, they were like his neighbor.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
You're going to be talked to.
There's going to be some shit here. So it's after that that they find out that he was in Tulsa before that, and they start asking around. This is when the newspaper connects him to the Tulsa murder and starts asking neighbors, hey, blah, 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 showing them a picture of these two, and the neighbors identify it, and now that's the police have to look into this.
Wow.
So he ends up receiving, he's convicted in New York quickly. He receives 20 years to life in New York. No death penalty at that time. It's right about to switch. Okay. New York has one now, or had one right after that. But he gets 20 to life in New York. And also New York officials then extradite him to Oklahoma, where he pleads guilty to that murder as well. Now, during the sentencing thing here, his wife says, quote, "I begged Tom not to do it." This is about the Hilda Johnson.
Hilda, right.
"I begged Tom not to do it. Tom told me if I ever told anybody, I know I'd be next. He told me to mind my P's and Q's." She said that he liked to strangle people with cords because he had a bondage fetish here, which, I mean, the prosecutor, this plays big in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the early 90s. He's all sexually deviant. He'll tie people up and then, you know, touch their pee-pees and they're like, oh no, it's the devil. So
meanwhile, today, tying up is like the casual thing you can do.
Yeah, women have dildo parties now. Right. Back then, that would be, oh, Jesus. Right. Now they're like, I got the best dildo. You're going to stick it right in your twat and jam it up in there. You're going to love it. And they're like, woo, thank you. Thanks, Carol.
I like to go on vacation, but it's really hard to bring all my stuff with me. You are not going to believe the package I have for you. I have the hotel time to the bed part. You will not believe the ropes. They're short lengths. So that you can get to the...
You're going to love it. Let's just say that. You're going to love it. It's special.
It's universal. Ties to every headboard.
She said that Thomas liked to strangle people with cords because of his bondage fetish. She said, quote, he loved to be tied up, wear leather, all that weird stuff. He was so good at it, he tied his own self up. He wanted to be hit with a belt, and he loved to tie me up and keep hitting me. He took a rope and a stick, and he made this noose-like contraption from the ceiling. He loved to be tied up, dangled by his feet and hands, is what she said. So, she's
wild.
In Tulsa, this is some explosive shit. They're like, whoa, this is the weirdest shit ever.
From the ceiling shit's got my head spinning. That's nuts.
Oh, yeah. She said she met him in the early 80s in Tampa. She's been with him. She's been road dogging with him, man. I mean, road dog. Raw dog and road dog. That's their code names. Code name, raw dog. Code name, road dog. Got it mixed up a little.
The amount of knots she has seen, though, over this many years, Jesus.
She told them all about a life of boozing and all these drugs, that they would just be drug addicts, and they would his bag was mugging elderly people. That's what he liked to do. He liked to, he preyed on old people in Florida, which I guess is, there was nobody else around.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's easier to roll them than Cuban refugees, I guess, probably. Gee, that Puerto Rican family or this old lady? Right. I think I'm going to get them. I'm going to take the old lady. So, he says that he wanted to waive his right to have the jury determine his punishment. So normally the jury would.
Yeah.
Now he wants it to go just to the judge. Now the trial court has to determine that he's knowingly, voluntarily doing this, that he's not crazy.
Yeah.
Because he's basically putting his life in the judge's hands now. It's a big decision.
That's a fucking crazy thought.
Yeah. He said that his attorney said that he did not wish to present any mitigating evidence or anything like that. So the sentencing starts in 1992, as we'll get into here. He is it's weird. He's playing it like, I don't care what you do to me.
Yeah.
He's doing that sort of thing. Like, you know.
You don't do that in Oklahoma.
Well, yeah, they're like, oh, well, good.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
No, we love to do to you and kill you over here. We'll treat you like cattle. They don't give a fuck. So. Yeah.
They would love to soak him with a garden hose and hit him with cattle prods.
Yeah.
He's out of his fucking mind.
That's the thing. So while he is being addressed by the judge, he responds with obscenity. He starts cursing at the judge.
Mm-mm.
Okay. You cannot tell a judge to go fuck themselves in their own courtroom while they're sentencing you for murder. By the way, a sentence you just said, you tell me what I should do. Not the jury. Just me and you, chief. And then you go, hey, fuck you, pal. You're asking for a lot.
That's unbelievable.
He's got a lot of leeway right now. Yeah. He can just go, kill this asshole. And they'll go kill you. Eventually.
Can we do it right now?
Yeah,
we
in Oklahoma. They'll do it. So the judge says, quote, you're the worst piece of humanity that could stand in this court.
Humanity, that's an interesting word for shit.
That's wonderful. You, sir, may fuck off. Death penalty there. He gets the death penalty.
Of course.
The brother of the guy he killed in Staten Island there said that he is all for it.
Yeah.
He says that I'm all for capital punishment with this fella, so that's good for him.
Does the Oklahoma one supersede New York?
Well, that's the thing. They're going to fight about that.
Because
New York's saying, well, he's got to serve his 20 here, and then if you want to execute him after that, he's all yours, but we're going to hold him here because we get our 21st, is what they're saying. And Oklahoma's like, oh, no. Why are you going to keep him? Just send him here.
Right.
He can serve
this.
He can serve that 20 concurrently, and then we'll kill him here. Because otherwise it would be he serves in New York, then he goes to Oklahoma and starts that whole process. So then he would have appeals, and he might be in there for another 30 years.
That's nuts.
So rather
He'll
than
die
that,
before he gets...
Yeah,
dead.
So they end up having a little bit of tug of war here, back and forth, and there's a thing with, also, this is the time when there's a new governor in New York, Pataki takes over, who's a Republican, and he ran on a whole platform of reinstating the death penalty.
Yeah.
Kind of the Central Park Five thing, kind of pushed that, you know, that falsely convicted.
One.
Yeah, the people were putting out, I can't remember who was putting out full page articles in the New York Times and Post
calling
for the execution of those teenagers.
I think I can see the very unique hair, he's hard to remember, but
somebody did that, and this drove a big thing in New York where people were like, we need that death penalty again, and it was like, so Pataki came in and they were trying to reinstall the death penalty. It was a big fight back and forth, so they go back and forth. Eventually he decides to completely drop his opposition to the death penalty and starts asking for the death penalty, uh-huh. is what happens here. Now
Grasso did?
Yeah, Grasso uh-huh. says, well, I want to be killed now. Okay. Kill me as fast. Can I be on the express train to the death penalty
right.
here?
You got
to
slip and slide that way?
Yeah, yeah. He says that it would be more cruel to keep him in jail. Because New York, he's saying that, because New York's thing is they're saying, people, the New York officials are going, we think it would be more cruel to hold him in jail, because that way we're letting him out of it if we kill him. Right. And he says, they're right. It would be more cruel, and I'd like to be killed.
New York's prison system is crazy.
Oh, yeah. If you're in a New York state prison,
it's not good.
If you're in there for life, you'd probably rather be put to death after fucking a certain amount of time.
In Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma, not great either. No. So, not that really any prison is probably wonderful.
Can't imagine, but...
probably not terrific.
No.
You know?
There's probably much better. I mean, there's definitely better than others.
I've seen, though, like on TV, like Louisiana. You don't want to be there in prison, boy. That is some fucked up shit.
I'm sure there's a couple in Florida that are minimum security that are pretty fucking great.
Yeah. Well, he ends up going in 1995 to Oklahoma, where he spends his 23 hours a day in a cell and death row and all that type of shit here. Oklahoma says that it's they're saying that it's toughness and compassion that they're showing. They're saying that for him to to kill him quickly is compassionate is what they're that's their thing.
Treating him like a pit bull.
Yeah, New York is saying that you're basically helping him commit suicide because he's begging to be murdered, and you're going, we'll kill you, come on over, come on down to Oklahoma, we'll put your strap on in, pal. You know, so they're like, it's, you know, whatever, the argument could go either way. And then you go, well, he did strangle old ladies and I don't like that at all. So he ends up he waives his right to appeal, and they judge him competent to waive his right to appeal, and he's gonna actually be put to death here. So while this is happening and he's been asking for it, the day of his execution, he starts giving out handwritten notes and weird statements and shit, all sorts of weird shit. He distributes to prison officials handwritten notes with misspellings and shit. Last statement, he says, it's one of these deals. He says, Mr. Cuomo is right. That's the former governor of New York. And right, W, with the less common...
W-R-I-G-A-C?
Yeah, that spelling here. He's right. Life without parole is much worse than the death penalty. All jurors should remember this. Attica and Oklahoma State Penitentiary are living hells. Yeah,
I believe it.
They're terrible. That's how what he says. He releases four statements to the press. Okay, one. This is, I'll give you a quote. He says, what we call the beginning is often the end, and to make an end is to make a beginning. All righty, the end is. Sounds like he was really stoned, and he's like, hey, dude, let me, does this make sense, bro? Yeah. And someone went, yeah, and then he wrote it down.
Alpha and Omega, bro.
Oof. He says, the end is where we start from. Okay, for most of us, this is the second, that's the first statement. Second statement is, for most of us, there is only the unattended moment, the moment in and out of time, and the right action is freedom from the past and future also. And they're from T.S. Eliot. Book basically.
Oh.
So he didn't write that himself. Okay. What do you think? He sat down and sharpened his pencil and went, let me draw from my literary. I've read a lot. Maybe I can write myself. I think I'm a writer. So he issues a third statement before 10 p.m., which is they're going to kill him about 1 o'clock in the morning. This is a poem that he wrote entitled "A Visit with Mystery." Okay.
Oh,
and he says, ready, willing, and waiting am I, asked for death but could not die. Each sunrise is one day less. I'll endure this horrible mess. When the last sun does sink, Mr. E, serve a goodbye drink. On the day our paths do cross, it won't take much to see it through. Just a little toxic brew. The warden will read my last creed, and the deadly brew will flow as the poison drips into my veins and the body's life does drain. I'll know then, once and for all, what last call means when serving Toxahol.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's his little, like, hey.
That's awful.
It's his, like, Shel Silverstein where the sidewalk ends yeah. death penalty poem.
It's not even impressive.
No. There's a reason why Shel Silverstein wrote very little about the death row, you know.
I do like Toxahol. That's
not bad.
I mean, alcohol is basically yeah, that too, sir.
It's not bad here. So he also says, again, he says, quote, he's saying that now that he wants to be killed and he's trying to act like it's a noble thing. Mm-hmm. He says, quote, I give my life because it's the most precious act of remorse I can make. Also, because I have no choice, right. And I killed a lady in Tulsa, and they don't fuck around in Oklahoma. They love killing people there.
I give my life. No, motherfucker, yeah. We're taking it.
They'd kill me if my IQ was fucking 48 in Oklahoma, so I'm done. He says, I hope everyone will treat each other so this act need not be repeated. Words break under this burden. Farewell. Okay, that's his last words before he goes out into the chamber. And then he has one more chance.
He's a chatty motherfucker.
That's what he writes down, okay? Yeah. Then he's there. Last meal. Now, he had a last meal prepared in 93 also when appeal was filed for him. It was prepared but never served, mm-hmm. okay? He only gets one last meal.
That's awesome.
Okay, he gets, here it is. Okay, ready for this? 2 dozen steamed clams, or steamed mussels, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 and clams. 2 dozen steamed mussels, 2 dozen steamed clams.
That's a lot.
That's a lot right there, okay? Flavored by a wedge of lemon.
One?
Okay, very important.
Just one wedge?
I would hope it's a very large wedge.
I hope it's a whole half,
That's
sir.
A lot, yeah.
That's a lot. That's fucking 2 dozen each?
They don't specify
48.
The wedge of lemon size.
My God.
A double cheeseburger from Burger King. Okay. Odd choice. A half dozen barbecue spare ribs, 2 strawberry milkshakes, 1/2 of a pumpkin pie with whipped cream, diced strawberries, and a can of SpaghettiOs with meatballs. Okay?
With meatballs.
With meatballs. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people have heard this because you had heard this before. So he goes there. There's witnesses, 12 reporters, everything like that. They get him on the gurney.
Yeah.
And his last words are, quote, I did not get my SpaghettiOs. I got spaghetti. I want the press to know this. So
you son of a bitch.
Very important.
You had clams and mussels.
I did not get my SpaghettiOs. I didn't want the press to know this. So, yeah. Anyway.
Did he get meatballs in the spaghetti, I hope?
Maybe. I don't fucking know.
Probably.
Mario Cuomo said of him, quote, Thomas Grasso's last words reveal that we had let our anger and confusion panic us into our own absurdity. He admitted that being allowed to die was an act of clemency for a double murderer, relieving him of the relentless confinement he dreaded more than death, which that's an argument. Mm-hmm. Now, his wife, up to this point, his wife still hasn't even been charged yet.
I was almost about to ask that.
Yeah, she's had some burglary there where they can hold her and shit like that, but she ends up finally being charged here.
Okay.
She ends up being charged. She's taken into custody. The detective here said, quote, I've always thought she was involved. If we had the evidence at the time, she would have been charged, but we needed corroboration. So then they get it later on. She says she's, quote, haunted by the grisly crimes which Grasso is executed for at that point, because he's executed, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm still afraid he'll have me killed or his relatives will come after me for telling what I knew. That's what she's saying now. Mm-hmm. She's saying she's so scared of him. In the end, she ends up pleading to murder and harboring a criminal. And that's in the, like, 95 okay. now, or 93-ish, because it was after he was on death row. Now, 2007, I found she was charged with possession of cocaine.
So she's been out.
This was in Newport News, which is Virginia, I believe. So she's in Virginia. It's a whole other state. So she was out in a little over 10 years. At some point, she's out.
Unreal.
But she must be back in prison again, because in 2014, I found a charge that she's charged with, quote, abusive language to another, which you don't get charged with in the free world.
No.
That's called you're a dick.
Yeah.
In prison, you get charged with abusive language to another.
Yeah.
So she must have been back in prison by 2014.
Locked up and had an infraction.
So she's in prison. He's dead. Old lady's strangled with Christmas wire. And that is Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Staten Island, and who cares? Some panhandle holiday murder, and Merry Christmas, everybody, and all that good stuff. And that's what we have for our bonus this week.
Yeah.
Please, everybody, listen to Crime and Sports every Tuesday, wherever you listen to podcasts. Small Town Murder every Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts. And that's about it.
Thanks for hanging with us.
Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you later, everybody.
Bye.